Chapter 7, Seth and Enoch.
Seth was a worthy character and was to take the place of Abel in right doing. Yet he was a son of Adam, like sinful Cain, and inherited from the nature of Adam no more natural goodness than did Cain. He was born in sin, but by the grace of God, in receiving the faithful instructions of his father, Adam, he honored God in doing his will. He separated himself from the corrupt descendants of Cain and labored, as Abel would have done had he lived, to turn the minds of sinful men to revere and obey God. Enoch was a holy man. He served God with singleness of heart. He realized the corruptions of the human family and separated himself from the descendants of Cain and reproved them for their great wickedness. There were those upon the earth who acknowledged God, who feared and worshipped him. Yet righteous Enoch was so distressed with the increasing wickedness of the ungodly that he would not daily associate with them, fearing that he should be affected by their infidelity, and that his thoughts might not ever regard God with that holy reverence which was due his exalted character. His soul was vexed as he daily witnessed their trampling upon the authority of God. He chose to be separate from them and spent much of his time in solitude, which he devoted to reflection and prayer. He waited before God and prayed to know his will more perfectly, that he might perform it. God communed with Enoch through his angels and gave him divine instruction. He made known to him that he would not always bear with man in his rebellion, that his purpose was to destroy the sinful race by bringing a flood of waters upon the earth. The pure and lovely Garden of Eden, from which our first parents were driven, remained until God purposed to destroy the earth by a flood. God had planted that garden and specially blessed it, and in his wonderful providence he withdrew it from the earth and will return it to the earth again, more gloriously adorned than before it was removed from the earth. God purposed to preserve a specimen of his perfect work of creation free from the curse wherewith he had cursed the earth. The Lord opened more fully to Enoch the plan of salvation, and by the spirit of prophecy carried him down through the generations which should live after the flood, and showed him the great events connected with the second coming of Christ and the end of the world. In Jude 14, Enoch was troubled in regard to the dead. It seemed to him that the righteous and the wicked would go to the dust together, and that would be their end. He could not clearly see the life of the just beyond the grave. In prophetic vision, he was instructed in regard to the Son of God, who was to die man's sacrifice, and was shown the coming of Christ in the clouds of heaven, attended by the angelic host, to give life to the righteous dead and ransom them from their graves. He also saw the corrupt state of the world at the time when Christ should appear the second time, that there would be a boastful, presumptuous, self-willed generation arrayed in rebellion against the law of God and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ, and trampling upon his blood and despising his atonement. He saw the righteous crowned with glory and honor, while the wicked were separated from the presence of the Lord and consumed with fire. Enoch faithfully rehearsed to the people all that God had revealed to him by the spirit of prophecy. Some believed his words and turned from their wickedness to fear and worship God. Enoch continued to grow more heavenly while communing with God. His face was radiant with a holy light which would remain upon his countenance while instructing those who would hear his words of wisdom. His heavenly and dignified appearance struck the people with awe. The Lord loved Enoch because he steadfastly followed him and abhorred iniquity and earnestly sought heavenly knowledge that he might do his will perfectly. He yearned to unite himself still more closely to God, whom he feared, reverenced, and adored. God would not permit Enoch to die as other men, but sent his angels to take him to heaven without seeing death. In the presence of the righteous and the wicked, Enoch was removed from them. Those who loved him thought that God might have left him in some of his place of retirement. But after seeking him diligently and being unable to find him, reported that he was not, for God took him. The Lord here teaches a lesson of the greatest importance by the translation of Enoch, a descendant of fallen Adam, that all would be rewarded who by faith would rely upon the promised sacrifice and faithfully obey his commandments. Two classes are here again represented, which were to exist until the second coming of Christ: the righteous and the wicked, the rebellious and the loyal. God will remember the righteous who fear him. On account of his dear Son, he will respect and honor them and give them everlasting life. But the wicked who trample upon his authority, he will cut off and destroy from the earth, and they will be as though they had not been. After Adam's fall from a state of perfect happiness to a state of misery and sin, there was danger of man's becoming discouraged and inquiring, "What profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord?" Malachi 3, the 14th verse. Since a heavy curse is resting upon the human race and death is the portion of us all. But the instructions which God gave to Adam and which were repeated by Seth and fully exemplified by Enoch cleared away the darkness and gloom and gave hope to man that as through Adam came death, through Jesus, the promised Redeemer, would come life and immortality. In the case of Enoch, the desponding faithful were taught that although living among a corrupt and sinful people who were in open and daring rebellion against God, their Creator, yet if they would obey him and have faith in the promised Redeemer, they could work righteousness like the faithful Enoch, be accepted of God, and finally exalted to his heavenly throne. Enoch, separating himself from the world and spending much of his time in prayer and in communion with God, represents God's loyal people in the last days who will be separate from the world. Unrighteousness will prevail to a dreadful extent upon the earth. Men will give themselves up to follow every imagination of their corrupt hearts and carry out their deceptive philosophy and rebel against the authority of high heaven. God's people will separate themselves from the unrighteous practices of those around them and will seek for purity of thought and holy conformity to his will until his divine image will be reflected in them. Like Enoch, they will be fitting for translation to heaven. While they endeavor to instruct and warn the world, they will not conform to the spirit and customs of unbelievers, but will condemn them by their holy conversation and godly example. Enoch's translation to heaven just before the destruction of the world by a flood represents the translation of all the living righteous from the earth previous to its destruction by fire. The saints will be glorified in the presence of those who have hated them for their loyal obedience to God's righteous commandments.